Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. I said, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. One more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. It is so good to see you here in the house of the Lord in Columbia, Maryland, in Owings Mills, Reisterstown, Maryland, at your home, in your car, in your kitchen, wherever you are. Thank you for joining us today. Today is the kickoff of a four-week winter guest speaker series. And in just a moment, I'm going to introduce our speaker. But I want to remind you of a quote that was popularized by Dr. Martin Luther King, who said that 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings is the most segregated hour of the week. I am proud and pleased to say that that's not true here at Bridgeway Community Church. Worshippers from over 60 different nations come together to say we put God first and we need Jesus in our lives, and our children can grow up together in Bridge Kids, whether black or white or Asian or Hispanic. And while we celebrate all the different cultures, whether it may be Hispanic Heritage Month or Asian Pacific Islanders Month, February has been sort of marked off as Black History Month. And I just want to say, for those that are not black, I want to personally thank you. For my white brothers and for my Asian brothers and sisters and for my Latino brothers and sisters and everybody mixed in between and everyone who's watching online, it means so much for us as African Americans, not only to celebrate our own history, but to know that there are others that are celebrating it with us when the world is always and often trying to suppress it, to act as if it doesn't matter. And so I want to honor you, and I want to thank you for being a part of our story and God's history. So I bless you in Jesus's name. And then for all my black folk, yo, what's up? It's because of your mamas and your daddies and grandparents and great-grandparents that we're all able to be here today. And I honor my dad, who died when I was 21 years old, to just say thank you, Pops, for raising me along with Mom. So can you believe my mom turned 90 years old in November? Can you believe that? Unbelievable. Well, there's another church in the country where 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings is not the most segregated hour of the week, and that is Strong Tower Bible Church in Nashville, Tennessee, planted and started and founded by senior pastor Dr. Chris Williamson in 1995. Dr. Williamson has his master's of religious education from Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary and his doctorate of strategic leadership from Regent University. He's the author of two books and an adjunct professor at Tribeca Nazarene University, teaching in the fields of theology, race, and African-American worship studies. He presides over the Strong Tower Association of Churches, which provides support to churches and houses of faith with regard to diversity, justice, gospel-based churches that he presides over. Pastor Chris loves to travel with his wife, Dorina. He collects Marvel comic books, and he likes spending time with his four wonderful children. And today he has his wife, Dr. Dorina, well, Lady Dorina, who one day will be doctor because I just prophesied it. But anyway, she is here in the house and author of many children's books. Lady Dorina, would you stand up just so we can honor you and welcome you as well to Bridgeway Community Church. All the things I said about Pastor Chris are true. His church and our church have partnered in many ways. His family members are in the Baltimore area. In fact, his brother used to play drums on our stage in the past. His sister-in-law used to do dramas here. And we have a friendship. We are brothers. I got to speak at his church just last spring. He's been here multiple times, including last year for our 50s plus banquet. And so I want you to give a warm Bridgeway welcome to Reverend Dr. Chris Williamson. Come on up with that bow tie, bruh. Go get him, man.
Thank you, Dr. Anderson. with an invitation to come and be with you, I was very, very humbled. It's good to be back at Bridgeway. As Dr. Anderson said, I was here multiple times many years ago. As a matter of fact, probably about 10 years ago or so, maybe a little longer, one of the times I preached here, one of your people, they heard me speak, and then later there was a relocation for them to come to Nashville and take a job. And when they came to Nashville, they did not shop around for churches. They came to Strong Tower because they heard me preach here, and they said, we got to go to that guy's church. So I just want to say, if there's anyone here that's relocating to the Nashville area, there is a church for you, Strong Tower. But Bridgeway, thank you for being not only the local impact kind of an institution that you are, but also a global impacting institution. And again, it's a privilege to be here. There's a word from the Lord in the Gospel of Luke. So would you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Now, I am the first of four speakers for your series here, Come Home. And so my role as the leadoff batter is just to get on base, because there are people coming behind who will take it home. So if I can just get on base this morning, I'll be all right. So let's pray together. Father, we approach you this morning because you approached us first. I'm not approaching you on the basis of my own faithfulness, but I'm only able to approach you because of your faithfulness to me, which does not change because of my unfaithfulness towards you. I thank you that you are a God who is rich in mercy, that you are full of grace, and your Son was also and is also full of truth. So now, Lord, as we come to hear your word, I thank you that you are used to working with cracked vessels and broken instruments, because it's your word that will not pass away. Even though, Lord, I am flawed, you still called me. And I pray for the people, your people, as they hear the word, that your spirit would not only bring illumination into their hearts, but the desire to put the word of God into practice. Thank you again for this first Sunday of February 2024 that we get to be here. Be glorified in our lives. We thank you again for your love, for it's in Jesus' name that we ask it all. Amen. The great King Solomon once wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, that for everything, there is a season. For everything, there is a season. And when I think about organizations, even churches, organizations and churches go through various seasons. And I call these seasons storming, forming, norming, and transforming. Every organization goes through them. Storming, forming, norming, and transforming. The church that I serve back in Nashville, Tennessee, is in a season of forming right now, because we just came out of a season of transforming, where our vision is to expand God's diverse kingdom in the city and throughout the world. And we've been seeing much fruit as a result of really going hard on our vision. But how many folks know that just because you're bearing fruit, that doesn't mean you won't go through a season of storming? Matter of fact, God will prune you so that you can bear more fruit, whether as an individual or even as a church or an organization. God will prune, he will cut so that there may be more fruit. Well, God cut us coming out of our transforming season, and now we're in the midst of a forming season as a church. And so pray for us, your brothers and sisters in Nashville, as God is forming and even reforming our church. And I'm here today to celebrate a church that is in a transforming season. I believe Bridgeway is in a transforming season, because when you're in a transforming season, you're in a winning season. And as an outsider looking in, I just admire the grace of God, the glory of God that is on this house. And for those who are watching online, you are in a winning season, a transforming season. And as a result, this is the best time for those who are away to come home. Come home. because there's an environment in this church where God's glory is just operating in exponential ways. Bridgeway, you're not in a forming season. You're not in a storming season. You're not even in a norming season. Bridgeway, you are in a transforming season, and that means there's a party in the house. That means good things are happening here. And so I have taken the liberty to entitle this message today. It's not proper English, but it's good for preaching, and that is, ain't no party like a Bridgeway party. Is that all right? Can I preach that today? I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you because there's a party going on in Bridgeway. Is the party over here? Is the party over here? Is the party over here? Ain't no party like a Bridgeway party because a Bridgeway party don't. Y'all going to help me preach this morning. I appreciate that. And the best story in the Bible that depicts this kind of party, surrounded around the idea of coming home, is the story of the prodigal son. This story is wonderful for us to start off this series on coming home. Now, I'm going to let you know there are two parties in this parable. One party happens to be the group of sinners. The other party happens to be the group of the religious syndicate and establishment. Two parties. As Jesus tells these three parables in Luke 15, there are two parties. But there are also two other kinds of parties. One is a praise party. The other is a pity party. We're going to see that today. One is a praise party. The other is a pity party. You see, when Jesus gets into this parable today, the elder brother that we're going to highlight, he doesn't have to come home. He's already home. His problem is he won't come to the party. He's home, but he's not joining in on the party. You know the story. The younger brother received the inheritance, asked for the inheritance from his father, went out and spent the inheritance on reckless living, lost everything, was out there eating what pigs ate. And then one day he came to his senses and came back home to his father, who embraced him warmly and graciously. But it was the older brother, who was already at home, who had a problem with the party that was being thrown in his brother's honor. You see, the seventh saying of a gracist, in the book written by Dr. Anderson, the seventh saying is, I will celebrate you. And Dr. Anderson writes, celebrating each other's success and wins is critical to unity. Jealousy and covetousness brew the poison that brings dissension to the body. So the older brother was home, but he was not participating in the celebration. He needed to grow in being a gracist. Well, as Bridgeway is in a winning season, somebody in here is in a whining season. As Bridgeway is in a gaining season, there may be one or two of you in here who happen to be in a complaining season. As Bridgeway is in a season where you are celebrating, somebody in here is hating while the rest of us happen to be celebrating. Because if your church is anything like mine, and I hope they do not watch this video, I got some whiners in the house. I got some haters in the house who cannot put their hands together to celebrate what God is doing in the lives of other people within the family of God. And when Dr. Anderson called me and invited me to come, I had been meditating on this passage in terms of how to see God work in our body so that the elder brother can come join the party and not stay outside the party with the arms crossed. So I figured, hey, if God is dealing with us, he's also got to have some word and some love up in here for Bridgeway. So I figured I'd bring it on here to y'all. And so let's jump into the context of this story and see what the Lord has for us, because our main point today is that God the Father wants all the prodigals away from home to come home and he wants all the prodigals already at home to join the party. Mm-hmm. He wants everybody to come home, that's away, and those who are at home, he wants you to join the party. So Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him." That's the first group or the first party listening to the Lord teach. We have the tax collectors and the sinners. They came to hear him. They came to get a word. They came to be encouraged. But then verse 2, "And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he spoke this parable to them." So that's the second group or the second party that was there, the Pharisees and the scribes. So Jesus, in his masterful way, is going to tell three parables. He's going to tell three stories in order to capture the heart and the attention of his listeners. And knowing that the sinners are coming to hear, but the religious people are coming to complain, as only Jesus can, he gives them a three-piece. He gives them a parable about a lost sheep and how when the shepherd finds the lost sheep, there is rejoicing as a result of finding the lost sheep. Then the second parable he tells is about a lady who loses a coin and she sweeps the house and looks for the coin. And when she finds the coin, she rejoices and calls all of her friends. But as any preacher would do, that last point is the one where, again, we're going to bring it home. And he goes into an elaborate story about a man who had two sons, an older son and a younger son, the story of the prodigal son. And in that parable, Jesus is aiming primarily and directly to the Pharisees and the scribes. When you and I read the story, we tend to focus on seeing ourselves in the prodigal son. And we've all been there. But rarely do we read the story to see what I believe the primary focus of the story is, and that is the elder brother. Rarely do we see ourselves in the attitude of the older brother, the one who refuses to come into the party. Well, in the book, Prodigal God, the late Tim Keller wrote, "The younger son's flight from the father was crashingly obvious. He left the father literally, physically, and morally. Though the older son stayed home, he was actually more distant and alienated from the father than his younger brother because he was blind to his true condition." So come home to the prodigals, and to the prodigals who are already at home, join the party because ain't no party like a Bridgeway party, my God. And even though both sons were wrong, the father invited both sons to the party. However, it appears that only one son accepted the invitation because the parable ends in verse 32 without us knowing whether or not the older son ever came into the party. You see, the father came out and pled with his son to come on inside and join in on the celebration. But Jesus left the story with a cliffhanger so that the Pharisees could put themselves in the position, if they were able to listen, in the position of the elder brother and see that the sinners are enjoying the grace of God. But the religious folks are standing outside, offended. My God, help me, Lord. So let's get into 3 points today, because if you are struggling to join or even rejoin the party at Bridgeway, I've got 3 principles from the text that can help you when applied. Now, this is not just for church. This can also be applied for your home, for your relationships at home, because we have people who are in houses, but those houses are not a home. There's alienation in homes where husbands cannot celebrate wives' promotions and children are not honoring their parents. And so there is distance in homes. And when the Lord wants to do something fresh in a house, There are people who have the elder brother syndrome who don't want to join in on the party at home. And then we know at work, where we make a living, broken relationships often abound. And sometimes it's hard to celebrate with people or for people who are in the next cubicle. And as we'll see today, because sometimes competition can be the thief of contentment, that it's hard to celebrate and cheer on someone else when we're on the same team, but we're acting like we are adversaries. So there's a word in this word for each and every one of us. And I confess to you that I'm asking God to give me the heart of the Father in this text, who can give grace freely. Lord, deliver me from being the prodigal who went away. Lord, deliver me from being a prodigal who stays at home but won't join the party. But Lord, also give me a heart like this Father has, who is a picture of Father God, who is reckless with grace. Lord, help me be a beneficiary of your grace and to be like you. The first point of three is, if you're going to join the party at Bridgeway, you got to get over your anger. Luke chapter 15, verse 28. It says, but he, speaking of the elder brother, was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So you know the story, the prodigal son, the younger son comes home. The father sees him from a distance and he runs to his son and has compassion on him and grabs him and holds him and hugs him and kisses him. And the son is saying, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And the father, as if he wasn't even listening to his son, he said, go and get the best robe and put it on him. Go and get some sandals and put them on his feet, because in the midst of his poverty, he probably walked home barefoot. And then he said, and go and get the fatted calf. Matter of fact, put a ring on his finger because we got to have some bling in this moment. And get the fatted calf. My son who was dead is alive. My son who was away has come home. Let's party. Let's celebrate. Because in each of the parables, there is a celebration and a time of rejoicing after finding what was lost. And so now in this parable, Jesus says that this father says, it's time to have a party. Call the whole community together, because they were there bearing my burden when my son was gone. Now they're going to be here to rejoice in the victory that my son is back. And the Bible says they started partying. But the older son, he was working in the field. And he approached the house. And the Bible says that he heard music and dancing. Now, I understand that you can hear music. He heard Cool in the Gang as he came to the house. Celebrate good times. Come on. He heard it blasting. But how in the world do you hear dancing? Them folk must have been working hard up in that house, just tearing up stuff. You heard dancing? My goodness. So he's like, what's going on in here? And one of the servants says to him, your brother who was lost is found. He has come back and your father has thrown a party for him. And that's where we see this attitude show up in the older brother in verse 28. But he was angry and would not go in. He was home, but he wouldn't join the party. He had a personal problem with his brother that kept him from enjoying the moment. And this reminds me of what we see in the book of Genesis when Cain killed his brother Abel. But before he killed his brother Abel, he was full of jealousy because Abel's offering was received from the Lord, whereas Cain's offering was not. And as a result of not dealing with his resentment towards his brother, it manifested into bitterness, which also led to murdering his own brother. And so what we have here is something similar, where the older brother has so much resentment in him that he can't even go in and celebrate the fact that his brother is back. And my question is, who are the older brothers in the house? You have something against someone else. Who are the older sisters in the house? Well, we're a family, but there's some discord between us. There's some jealousy that should not be there that's leading into resentment and even bitterness, that when you see some of these people coming, you turn around and go the other way. God wants to heal you and help you through that. He resented his brother being celebrated. He felt that his brother should have been judged, that his brother should have been condemned, not welcomed back. You see, a bad attitude will keep you from having a good time. A bad attitude will keep you from having a good time. Everybody else is having a great time, but you are looking like you have been baptized in lemon juice. What's going on? But people who don't appreciate the grace of God, the Father, towards them will have a hard time celebrating the grace of God towards others. I want God to be gracious to me, but I have a problem with him being gracious to other people. I want God to lavish his love on me, but when he lavishes love on others, oh boy, that means I don't understand, let alone appreciate his grace towards me that superabounds over my junk. So when I see his grace superabounding over my brother's junk, my sister's junk, I ought to be happy. But instead, I'm angry. And we know that when a person is angry, according to the book of James chapter 1, we cannot live the righteous life that God requires. Because when I'm angry, in the words of De La Soul, all I can focus on is me, myself, and I. It's about me. But God wants us to be loving our brothers and loving our neighbors, to be other-centered and not solely self-centered. There's a place to love yourself, but we got to get over ourselves to help us get over our anger. What are you so angry about? Really, in the grand scheme of things, why are you so angry? But then secondly, not only must we get over our anger, we need to get over our amplification. Verse 29. So the son answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." So he's amplifying things. He's amplifying his own self-righteousness because he says, "I never transgress your commandment at any time." So again, think of Jesus' audience. You have the sinners who know they're sinners, but you have the religious people who don't think that they're sinners. Matter of fact, they'll stand up in the temple and say, "I'm glad I'm not like this other guy. I'm so glad that I tithe and I fast and I pray and I go to the synagogue." All of this self-righteousness, not realizing that there are logs all in your eye, not realizing that you are a commandment breaker. Just like when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "I want to follow you." And he said to Jesus, "I've kept all of the commandments." And Jesus is like, "Oh, you have, huh? Well, go sell everything you have and then come on back and follow me." Homeboy said, "Now, wait a minute now. I got to give up everything?" "Yeah, you got to give up everything. And then come on, follow me." And the Bible says he walked away sad because of all his great possessions. So what he's saying is, what Jesus did in that little test is, you've put your wealth ahead of God. And that first commandment talks about God will not have any other gods before him. You are a commandment breaker, but you're walking around here acting like your stuff don't stink. No, you stink. And the only way to get deodorized is by the loving grace of God to deal with the funk. Let me go on. But anyway, we all got it. We all got it. But if we walk around acting like we're holier than thou and we're better than other people, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Instead of always pointing fingers at other folk, "Lord, teach me to point a thumb at myself." And what this man does is that he exaggerates his own self righteousness. And that is a problem. He said, I never transgress. In other words, Dad, I never failed you. The only son who can say that is Jesus. He could say to Mary and Joseph, I never transgressed. He's the only one that could say it. And he didn't even say it. But this guy has the nerve to say, I never transgressed. And then he amplified his father's perceived imperfections. You never threw a party for me and my friends. Never. Because you didn't do this for me like you're doing for my brother. What he's saying is that means you really haven't done anything for me. Since you didn't do this, I'm now wondering if you've done anything for me. You got to watch out when hyperbole is used in the heat of an argument. My wife is here. I wish she wasn't as I make this point. But I've learned in marriage, learned the hard way, had to eat a lot of humble pie. When I say to my wife, you never initiate date night, Lord Jesus. Shoes coming at a brother. And my wife would have to remind me because my memory, when you're angry and selfish, you have a bad memory. And she would say, remember last month when I, oh yeah, you're right. So watch making those amplifying statements that you never do this and you never did that. And I just wonder, as we look at this passage again, how much older brother do we have in ourselves? We all have some, but the only way to get healed is to admit that we have some in us. But there's one more point. Not only must we get over our anger and over our amplifying the situation, not being objective, but Lord, help us to get over our assumptions. Verse 30, he says, but as soon as this son of yours came, he can't even say soon as my brother came. He says, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf. Now, remember, I told you he was just walking up to the house and he asked, what's going on up there? And the servant said, it's a party there for your brother. So as he's talking to his father, who has come outside to plead with him to come in and join the festivities, the son, the older brother, has the nerve to say that your son, Daddy, squandered all of those resources that you gave him on prostitutes. So my question is, if you just got there, how did you know your brother squandered the money on prostitutes? You don't know whether or not he squandered the money on prostitutes. Maybe the fact that when y'all were younger in the house and you knew the proclivities of your brother and what he was into, you know, I don't know. Or maybe you're judging him off the stuff that's in your heart based on what you would do if you was in his position. You know, because that's how judges do. You know, we're judging other people based on the stuff that's in our heart. You who preach against robbing temples, do you rob temples? Paul said in Romans chapter 2. You're doing the same thing that you're judging your brother over. So beware of judging others based on what's in your heart. Now, here's the danger. Here's the danger. The older brother, in a sense, is bearing false witness. He doesn't know what happened, but he's coming up with a narrative that is false. So when older brothers create a false narrative and perpetuate a false narrative, it only hurts the family. Because now the community is going to hear that, and he has no proof. Because you know what happens when you assume? So now there's this rumor going around the community that may or may not be true. But you need to keep your mouth shut until you get the facts. But really, what does it matter? Because in your self-righteous state, you're adding up things. You're adding up the money that was spent, and you're adding up his unrighteousness against your supposed righteousness so that you can look better in comparison to your brother, because you haven't done that, but he has. At least that's what you assume. And so as elder brothers and sisters, we have to be careful about making assumptions about people's motives when only God knows the heart. We have to be very careful about making sure we don't put something in the atmosphere that could hurt and hinder a person, let alone the community. It's been said, before the truth gets out of bed and puts its shoes on, a lie has run around the earth two times. So there were three things that were stated to help us when we have tendencies of being an elder brother who's at home but doesn't want to join the party. We need to get over our anger. How do you get over your anger? You got to confess it. Lord, this is sin. This is wrong. I'm self-centered. I need help. Forgive me, Lord. And the grace that you give to me, might I extend it to others. So get over your anger. Get over your amplification. Watch the words you use when you're describing a situation, especially that word never. Get over your assumptions about people, what they've done, what they didn't do. Get over these things. And if I had to sum up this message, it would be get over yourself. Get over yourself. It's pride. And the older son doesn't realize he's embarrassing his father just as much as the younger son embarrassed his father to the community. What do you mean? Because the word is going to go around now that the older son is disrespecting the father because he won't come inside. And you're judging the younger brother because he embarrassed the father by going away and spending the inheritance. You see how it works? How can you throw stones when you live in a glass house yourself? And so get over yourself. And as I mentioned, the parable ends without us knowing whether the elder brother went into the house or not. What do you think happened? Do you think he went in? Or do you think he stayed outside, burning hot, hotter than fish grease? Do you think he stayed outside? Or do you think he came in? And again, the way Jesus taught, he wanted the religious establishment to see themselves in the elder brother, so that they could join the party and celebrate a sinner who came back home. What would they do? But better yet, what will you do? What will you do? You're home. You're here. But have you joined the party? Because ain't no party like a Bridgeway party. Because a Bridgeway party don't stop. You're in a transforming season. God's grace has been poured out on this church in unusual ways. And as the majority is in the flow of the Spirit, I came from Nashville to speak to the few of you who may be sitting outside with an attitude judging people, and you're not having any fun being here. Now, I grew up down the road. I was born and raised in Baltimore. My family moved to the county when I was about 11 years old, and I got introduced to house parties. Matter of fact, in 1990, a movie came out called House Party. Had Kid and Play up in there dancing in the house, high top fade, and they doing all that stuff, kicking the heel, you know, doing all that stuff. House Party. I grew up with that right down the road in Baltimore County, and we would go to house parties in Woodmore, in Hebbville, all these places where I grew up in Baltimore County. And when I would go to these house parties, it never failed. After you spent time ironing your shirt, back then creasing your jeans and making sure your shoes were right. I mean, you had to go. And you got there with your boys. I'm in high school. And you pull up to the house. There's going to always be people outside the house. They're going to be talking, standing around cars and all of that. And you got to walk past all of them to get inside to the party so you can have some fun. You know, always in the basement with the red light. But anyway, don't go back too far. Stay with me. And it dawns on me, why would you come to the party but not go inside to the party? Oh, my Bridgeway. I've just come by to tell you, you're already home. You're at the house. Join the party. Get over yourself. Get over your anger. Get over your assumptions. and join the party. Because if you think this party is something, there's another party that's coming. Jesus talks about when a sinner comes to salvation, heaven rejoices. Angels are backflipping in heaven when a sinner comes home. So you think this party at Bridgeway is something? I'm here to let you know it's an all-white party in heaven. Not talking about all white folks either. It's an all-white party in heaven where we're going to have on these white gowns, which speak of the righteousness that has been imputed to the saints. We're going to have on some gold slippers to walk the streets of gold. There's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be a big yard out back, according to the group Audio Adrenaline, where we could play football. We're going to have a good time. There's going to be a party in heaven. But until that time, there's a party at Bridgeway, and ain't no party like a Bridgeway party. Because a Bridgeway party don't stop. Amen. Dr. Anderson. I love you.
Well, you can even do better than that for Dr. Chris Williamson, who brought the word of God to Bridgeway. Ain't no party like a Bridgeway party, because a Bridgeway party don't stop. Whether you're in Owens Mills or whether you're in Columbia or at home, if you have someone near you, just look at them and say, get over yourself. Go ahead, tell them that. I am so thankful for this word, whether it's anger, whether it's amplification, whether it's assumptions, will you take this word and will you integrate it into your heart so that you can not only join the party, but that you can have all of the grace and the goodness that God has for us. Dr. Chris Williamson, thank you so much for bringing the word of God to us today. We appreciate you and we pray for you. Would you just extend a hand right now, wherever you are, as we pray over Dr. Chris Williamson, and then turn the service over to whoever is hosting, wherever you are around the world, including in this house here at Bridgeway. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Strong Tower Bible Church. Thank you for Pastor Chris and Lady Dorena Williamson. We thank you for all of the folk that are in their ministry. We pray, God, that those on the outside would come in. And Lord, we thank you for Pastor Chris and ask that you protect him, keep him, give him strength to continue to do ministry for years and years to come. Thank you for the word of God that has been deposited into our church today as we kick off this winter guest speaker series. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Together, everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you, Bridgeway.